Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising kids in a culture saturated with media and technology. I am your host and the founder of Brave Parenting, Kelly Newcomb. Well, hello, everyone. So glad you've joined me for today's show. We're going to be talking about the technology that we use for God's glory. So here's kind of the deal with this. So often here at Brave Parenting, we share details on new technologies or media platforms only to then not recommend them. And so it's really easy to think that, you know, we in this ministry of Brave Parenting are just anti-technology, but that simply is not the case. We personally use a vast amount of technology every day, not only to operate our ministry, but also just as a part of our usual way of life. The difference is, of course, that it's us as adults versus what we believe is appropriate and wise for children. So what I want to do today is to share the biblical foundation that we stand on for using technology as a common grace of God, and then share with you the technology that we actually use and engage with every day. So the Bible teaches us in Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Well, the days are evil because we live in a fallen, broken world, ruled by the prince of the power of the air. But technology in itself, we know, is not evil. It is a part of God's common grace to humanity, right? So it flows from human creativity and innovation, which ultimately come from Him. It is God who created us and gave us the ability and capacity to both increase in knowledge and to innovate. John 1:3 states, through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. And I'll throw in there Hebrews 11:3, which I now have memorized because my granddaughter had to memorize it for school this week. And that states, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So yes, this means that God is the ultimate source of our technology, including all of our modern internet-connected and AI-powered gadgets and tools. It flows from how we were created by God. And as a part of God's command in the garden to have dominion, to cultivate the earth and subdue it, that's Genesis 1:28. So technology can be seen as a gift of God. And it is a gift that we actually live in a time and place where we have electricity, clean water, and the internet. Those are all forms of technological innovation. James 1:17 tells us that every good gift is from God. But we also know that every gift and grace of God can be used either for ill purposes or evil gain, right? It can be used to glorify God or it can be used to glorify self, which is why we want to be careful about how we live. We want to make wise decisions with the technology that we use and engage with. We believe, of course, that all that technology, even the most advanced stages of AI, is still under God's sovereign control. Even so, wisdom requires that we consider what 1 Corinthians 6:12 states, and that is, I have a right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. I have a right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. Right? So when Paul writes this, he's saying, yes, we do have the freedom and the free will to do a lot of things, and some things may be beneficial to some, and some is going to be harmful to others, right? So that is where we stand. We have the freedom to use all and any technology that is offered to us, but if it's not beneficial to us or to others, then wisdom would state that we don't use that. So now Ryan and I have used various media and technology resources and tools in our lives together, and we've learned what is good and what is bad. You know, we've allowed a lot of technology for our kids that we found out, we learned really quickly was not beneficial for them or others. And, you know, many things since then have been intentionally cut out of our lives. Our goal is to use all the technological tools available to us in the 21st century wisely and with gratitude, and ultimately to advance the kingdom of God and his purposes, right? To do it for his glory, ultimately applying what 1 Corinthians 10:31 states, and that is, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So then what I want to do next is to share the technology that Ryan and I use and appreciate for the glory of God. Now, real quick, before I do that, here's what I don't want to do with this list of technologies that we use and appreciate for God's glory. I don't want to act like these technologies come from God-honoring companies, because we all know they do not, but we can still use them for God's glory, right? I also don't want to act like these are the only technologies that someone can use honorably and for God's glory, right? Just because something's not on our list of what we use doesn't mean that others can't use it for God's glory or that the use of it is bad. So please don't hear this as like an exclusive list. We just want our Brave Parenting community, those who are listening, to know that we do truly love many forms of modern media and technology. We just really believe that much of it is not appropriate for children, right? This is two grown adults who have an almost empty nest. All of our adult children have moved out, but we have a 7.5-year-old granddaughter who lives with us 5 days a week. So this is what we use in our everyday life. We both work full-time jobs. We operate Brave Parenting on all of our free time. And so this is what works for us and what we're called to do in our lives. Again, might look different for you, but just so you know, all the technology that we use. Okay, so here's the list. Here we go. We both use iPhones. Now, I don't think we've ever had an Android. I think we have an Android just for testing, but pretty much primarily we've always only used iPhone smartphones. And on those iPhones, we pretty regularly use text messages, FaceTime, email. And we both use both Google and Apple Maps. I personally also subscribe to Apple News. That is how I get a lot of my news headlines. I have a lot of filters set for news that is relating to parenting, that is related to social media, technology, AI, all of that. And so that's where I get a lot of my news from. I also subscribe to Apple Fitness. That's a really great benefit that I love, even though I don't love to pay for it. I really love what it offers. And I also subscribe to Apple Music. I've been on the fence about whether or not I discontinue that, but I, as a student getting my master's degree, I'm still in my like little period of having a student discount on that. So Brian does not have any music subscriptions or any fitness subscriptions. I do believe he does have a couple podcast subscriptions. I also have the Wordle app, which is like the New York Times games app, I guess it's considered all in one now. For a long time, for many years, we have been doing Wordle, both Ryan and I, and then I have a couple friends who we share our results with every morning, maybe not every morning, but I do. That is the only game that I play. Podcasts, we obviously have that on our iPhones that we listen to pretty regularly. We each listen to different sets of podcasts, and then I'll have a lot of conversation about what we are learning in different podcasts. I have the Amazon app, use that pretty regularly, probably too regularly, on my phone. We also utilize Audible a lot for audiobooks. And I have the Libby Library app. I try and utilize as many free books as I can as well. On my phone, I also have Google Calendar. I don't use the Apple built-in calendar. I have a Google Calendar that I share with several people to know my schedule. I also use the Square app. I personally think if someone was to say, what do you think is the coolest technology? I think it is the ability for me to, on my iPhone, for someone to tap my iPhone and pay for like a book at an event or some, you know, accept money, accept payments by someone just tapping my iPhone with their credit card. I think that is incredible technology. And even when I go to events and people use it, everybody seems to think, be amazed at it too. It's just a really amazing technology that we're able to do something so simple that way. I do have on my iPhone. Ryan does not have social media apps on his iPhone, but I do have a folder with social media apps that are logged into Brave Parenting's accounts. If I have to use them, I usually go through the Meta Business Suite if I need to share something on Facebook or Instagram. But typically, those all go out automatically. We sort of have it built into WordPress that anytime we share a podcast or a new Brave Parenting guide or a new post, that those get sent out to the socials automatically. But as you know, we don't do a lot on social media at all. Hardly ever do I go on there and personally post something. It has to be pretty important for me to get on a social media platform and share content that way. And that's just a personal conviction. I know that social media can be used to the glory of God. I just know my own proclivities and I don't want to be on it consuming content. And if I get on there to post something, chances are I will probably scroll as well. So a personal conviction there. Also on my phone, I have obviously some just normal tools that probably everyone has. Maybe hotel apps, Uber, just in case I'm traveling and I need that. And I have several pharmacy related apps as well. Okay, so that's kind of our phones. Now, we both also use Apple Watches. I use it primarily just because I want to be able to keep my phone away, especially while I am at my day job at work. If I have a message come in or a phone call, I don't want to have to pull my phone out. I want to just be able to look at my watch and see, is this really important? Does this actually require my attention? And if I pull my phone out, chances are I'm going to look at other things and that's going to be distracting, whereas the watch makes it really easy. I also use it for all my Apple Fitness. So they have the ability to do like running playlists. So I don't have to carry my phone. If I go on a run, I can connect my AirPods to my watch and just wear my watch and it tracks my run and all that. And I love that. I think that's super convenient and easy. I love not having to carry my phone around. And my phone also has cellular. So if I do want to leave my phone behind in any sort of situation, I can still have my watch on. And if someone needs to get a hold of me, I can still receive a phone call and talk to it. And I feel like I'm Inspector Gadget back in the 80s watching cartoons talking to my watch. I will say, I also track my sleep on my watch. A lot of people can't wear their watch to bed. I do. I love it. I love to know how I slept the night before. Pretty much tells me how I'm going to feel throughout the day. So I use my watch for that as well. And Ryan pretty much uses his watch just to get messages from me because he doesn't check his phone very often. And so I kind of insisted that he have a watch so that he actually knew when I was contacting him. It's kind of how we roll. Now, when it comes to our home, we have a few televisions, most of which are probably on a weekly basis, never turned on, if I'm just being honest. When our kids were living in the house, they definitely were. We were a family that watched a lot of movies. You know, it would be a Saturday night and it would be family movie night. We did a lot of that. But now that our kids are grown out of the house, Ryan and I just aren't TV watching people. So typically, if the TV is used, it is, we have one, I guess, streaming service that would be like Amazon Prime TV. And we watch that through an Apple TV that is connected to the television. And otherwise, there's a TV in the, what we would call like our workout room. One of the kids moved out, so we got a treadmill and some workout stuff, and that's in that room. And there's a TV on that wall that I'll also use for my Apple Fitness subscription. Now, computers, that's a whole different story. We may not look at our televisions, but we definitely spend a lot of time in our office. That's kind of where we operate from on a regular basis in our home. Each of us has a PC computer and a kind of portable laptop. Our computers have three monitors each. So we each are looking at three monitors as we're doing our life, whether he's preparing lesson plans for his work as a teacher, you know, during the day, or he's doing web development, either for Brave Parenting or someone else in the evening. But on those computers, he probably uses more tools than I can even remotely describe. But for the most part, like for me, we use a lot of Adobe products. We use Photoshop. I use that to make a lot of images. Lightroom. If I do any photography, I will use that. Illustrator, InDesign, all of the Adobe suite of products. We utilize Dropbox. Great technology. We love that. I have a Dropbox app on my phone as well. I didn't mention that. But that makes accessing all of my Brave Parenting documents really easy. And I would say Zoom. We also use Zoom for a lot of meetings for Brave Parenting or for whatever. We use Zoom quite a bit. Okay, now, that's kind of, I think, the gist of our computers. Just the normal internet, of course. Now, podcast resources. Like, podcasting obviously is a huge part of our life. We have a whole studio that once some kids have moved out of our house that we were able to dedicate an entire room to our podcast studio. So in that podcast studio, there are obviously a lot of technology, but primarily, right, we record our podcast, if you even care about this, but I'm just going to tell you, this is because we love technology in the sense of podcasting, especially. We record all of our podcasts through a MixPre 6, and we use the Shure SM7B microphones in our podcast studio. When we record video, we have Blackmagic cameras. We also have three different digital SLRs, a Canon 70, I think it's a Canon 60. We have an ATEM that helps coordinate between all of the camera usage and video shots, as well as several monitors in this room alone that helps us navigate the whole podcast video thing that happens in here. That is very much all Ryan. I just sit behind the microphone and talk. But I do love every piece of technology that is in here. When it comes to editing the podcast, we use primarily Descript. We also use Riverside, and we also use Audacity, all great forms of technology online that enable us to bring these podcasts to you. Now, when it comes to AI, we are not opposed to AI. Again, I'm opposed to it for children because I think it's very dangerous for them and stunting in their learning and education. But for adults who are educated and morally formed, I think that AI can be used in really fantastic ways to not only increase your efficiency and productivity, but also to stimulate creativity and do things that maybe were not possible ever before. So here's kind of a list of the AI tools that we use. I personally use Grammarly. Now, a funny story about Grammarly is I knew that Grammarly existed, well, like a decade ago, I guess, when I wrote Managing Media, Creating Character for the very first time and was published in 2017. I knew it existed and I was like, no way, I am not giving all of my content to some online company and having them read it. And I don't know why. I just was totally opposed to it. But then when I registered for my master's degree at the Master's University, they gave me a free premium Grammarly account. And so I started using Grammarly to write all of my master's level papers. And I figured, well, they gave it to us, right? So it's good. And you can set the different levels to what type of writing that you have. And so I was writing, you know, very academic-like papers. And these are like 30-page papers. And so when you write so many 30-page papers, you quickly realize, wow, this is a great tool. I don't know if I can live without this. So after I graduated, I was like, I guess I'm going to have to pay for my own Grammarly subscription. And so I do. And so I do have Grammarly plugged in through all of my pretty much tools that I use on my computer. So if I'm writing an email, or if I'm writing a podcast script, or I've been writing a new book, all of that, it does use Grammarly, which is AI grammar correction. But I have really found that to be beneficial. Again, because why? I know how to spell. Really, I do. But you know, when you're typing and you're getting ideas out and your fingers just go crazy on the keyboard, you just don't always spell everything right. You just don't always use the exact punctuation that you need to, even though I was taught it, even though I can, if I was forced to, this is just a tool that makes my life a little bit easier. Again, because I'm already educated. Okay, now my husband and I both use ChatGPT for different reasons. Ryan, actually, we've been debating doing a podcast, giving you all of the best case scenarios for using ChatGPT. So maybe we still may do that. But I will tell you that I use it. I love to use it for recipes. I love to say, hey, this is what I have in my refrigerator or in my pantry. What can I make? And it has given me really great recipes. I love it for that feature. I also will feed it like high-level academic writing or academic reports, or just maybe even like something that's like really PR-coded language. And I kind of want it distilled for me. I want it to kind of break it down into points. If I don't have time to read a 20-page document, but I need to know what the gist is, I love it for that. That's really been great. I also will often feed it a different, maybe Brave Parenting Guide or a podcast script. And then I ask it to create counter arguments like, hey, what are those who are very pro technology for children? What are their arguments going to be against what I'm saying here? Because I don't always think that way, because I have my worldview and I operate in that to such an extent that I don't always think about what the opposition is thinking. And so that is very helpful too. Helps me defend our stance here at Brave Parenting. But the key, of course, is that I do not treat ChatGPT as a person. It is not a person. It is a tool. I am not going to speak to it as it's a person. I give it commands. I don't say thank you. I don't say please. I treat it as though it is a tool. I do not want a relationship with this tool. I just want it to do what it is trained to do, which is distill information and do and create, obviously, based on its training, other information. So when it comes to other AI platforms, Ryan also uses Claude, which is from Anthropic. I don't use it, but he uses it to write code. He's written a lot of code, whether it be for plugins, for websites, or I think he's written entire apps with the Claude coding. So that's been an amazing tool for him. Obviously, when I Google something, I get the Gemini AI generated results. So I'm not going to say that I don't use that. That's the first thing that I'm looking at primarily. I think everyone's like that now before you go and look at all the different links. In Photoshop, there is now AI editing tools. You can remove the background with an AI tool, which I use it a lot when I'm creating YouTube images. You can also change the tone or color of a picture. You can extend an image to be like further, bigger out. That's a really amazing tool as well. And there are many podcast editing tools that uses AI as well that we have just recently started taking advantage of. Things that can take out background noise, long pauses, plosives, things like that. So we do a lot of editing to the podcast. So what you hear is possibly somewhat edited by AI. But we praise God for that, because it does save us some time and enable to get this content out. All right. So now I guess what I'll end on is just some of the technology we have in our household in general. And we use Arlo cameras. I know some people use like the Ring doorbell for like security. We have several Arlo cameras at our house that we have utilized. They do connect to the internet. That's been good for us. Lots of different options out there, but that's what we use. We use our thermostat, I think, is connected to the internet with Ecobee and an app-controlled automatic cat food dispenser, because we realized that when all of our kids moved out of the house and we traveled for Brave Parenting or just for pleasure or whatever, that we had no one to feed our cats. And if they ate too much, they puke. And so anyway, it's a long story, right? But so we got a cat food dispenser that's controlled by an app, so we can dispense it every morning and they don't get too much food. We also have a Bluetooth speaker, just one, down in our kitchen that we can connect and listen to music to. And our granddaughter has a Tony box that is also connected to the internet. So that pretty much just does it about what the technology we have that's kind of connected to the internet that we use inside of our house. But do take note that there are some obvious absences from our list, right? So on our phones, we do not use any Siri. Like, that's very intentional. I did for a short time when it first came out, and I did love the ability to say, hey, Siri, you know, set a reminder. But what I have learned about how much data collection is occurring through Siri, we now have every single bit and part of Siri turned off. And every new app update, we go in and make sure that Siri is still turned off because Apple likes to like automatically turn it back on. Sometimes with different iOS updates, we also very intentionally do not use smart speakers such as like Alexa. We know that it's really hard to keep big tech from accumulating all of your data. Like there's just no way we can possibly control all of it. But where we can, we definitely limit. And we know that that is an easy way is to just not have these devices listening to every conversation all of the time, whether it be from our phones or a speaker in our home. So we do not, very intentionally, do not have any of those devices. Game consoles, we don't have any of those now. We did back when our kids lived in the house. Again, we learned quickly that it was just not the best thing for our kids. And when they became a problem, we got rid of them. So there is no game consoles in our house. We also don't really have any streaming services. Like I said, we have the Amazon Prime TV. Every now and then, we will activate our Netflix subscription for like a month when there is a show that is like worthy of a brave parenting review. We will activate a Netflix subscription so we can watch that. I try and be really fair and ethical to the company in the sense that I'm not going to use someone else's login just to watch a movie. I feel like it's just the honorable thing to do is just to pay for a month if I'm going to be watching and using the services. So that's kind of how we feel about the streaming services. And then, I don't know, do people still have cable? I'm not real sure. I don't think we have any channels if we don't use some sort of streaming service as far as our TV goes. But again, like I said, we don't watch it very much at all. And tablets, I didn't mention any tablets. We do have a couple really old, and I say old, I'm talking like definitely over 10 years old iPads that we don't really use. Every now and then we'll kind of use and maybe our podcast setup or something if we need to be able to see someone on another screen. But for the most part, we don't really engage with any sort of tablets because, well, we have our computers and so we don't need to. So that's kind of the gist of it. So I think that that's pretty encompassing, probably more than you even cared about. Maybe it was too much information. But I did want you to know, like, we do truly love the technology that God has given us to engage the world and give him honor and glory and really just reach people with the message of Jesus Christ. And so we are not completely anti-technology at all. So let me just circle back to the beginning, right? And talk about what truly matters. And it's not about, of course, using the latest and greatest technology, of which we do have some. And it's not about, you know, consuming the newest or award-winning media. What matters is our faithfulness, right? 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And y'all, that includes the iPhones, the AI tools, Apple Fitness, and right, even this app-controlled cat food dispenser that we have, right? All of it can be used for God's glory if we are faithful with how we use it, right? Every bit and piece of this technology is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to either be distracted or disengaged because you're staring at your screen, you're engaged with the media and technology, or it's an opportunity to honor and glorify God and use it for good purposes, for beneficial purposes. It's not sinful to allow technology to make you more efficient or to utilize its convenience. The problem arises when efficiency and convenience become the ultimate and become basically where you're sacrificing your good character just to be more efficient or just to have more convenience. Or, right, it's sinful when the entertainment or the pleasure of the media and technology becomes like your whole life's purpose at the expense of human relationships, right? We have to be willing to sacrifice efficiency or entertainment if it ever gets in the way or leads us away from God's purposes. And then it allows us to maybe slip into slothfulness or gluttony or covetousness or even isolation. So here at Brave Parenting, our mission, of course, isn't only to manage media and technology, but it's to learn how to use every tool with wisdom, with character, especially self-control, and purpose for the advancement of God's kingdom. So we try and live that out in our personal lives, and then we want to teach you how to do the same. And of course, at the same time, help you as parents learn how to do that for yourself so that you can teach your children the same. Hopefully, this is your goal as well. If you're listening and you're like, wow, well, I've never really thought of it this way. I've never thought about using media and technology for God's glory and not just my own personal convenience. I do encourage you to begin evaluating all of your media and tech tools to kind of determine, you know, is this truly beneficial for you? Is it beneficial for others? Ask yourself, right, is this helping you to advance the kingdom of God? Right? Is it building up the house of God or is it building up the house of self? Is it just for your benefit and no one else's? Right? Is it to the detriment of others? Right? And then once you come to that conclusion, and my guess is you probably already know a little bit in your heart what some of those pieces of technology and media may be, but then you got to get rid of it. And so you need the bravery to do that. You need to probably have a little accountability as well, sharing with someone else, hey, I feel called to get rid of this. And I just need someone on the other side who knows that I'm doing this so that you can ask me to make sure that I've not kind of slipped back into using this selfish piece of technology, right? So it might take some time to do this, right? Maybe it takes some time to wean your family off a platform like Disney Plus or whatever, but it can be done. I'd also encourage you to just be in prayer, both individually and together as a family, right? I cannot stress the importance of repenting in front of your children, to your children. Like, wow, I think we've allowed maybe too much media and technology. I don't know if all of this technology is for the glory of God and for the benefit of others, or if it's just for our selfish gain. And repent of that in front of your children, and then pray together with your children. And ask God to reveal in all of y'all's hearts, you know, what technologies or media platforms are not honoring to God and beneficial to the family. I think you might be surprised that your kids' involvement and willingness to get on board with this, and maybe even what media they bring up as something that they don't believe is honoring to God. Just that process alone gives glory and honor to God, right? So I believe that these are the healthy next steps that we can all do as we all aim to use technology for the glory of God. All right, friends, if you have any questions, reach out. We would love to hear from you. And that is all I have time for today. So may God bless you this week. And until next time, go and be brave.